Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Adlin. A large coalition of ag groups wrote to the Environmental Protection Agency asking it to postpone revocation of chlorpyrifos until it could consider their formal objections to the rule. Allison Crittenden, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director, says the August 30th rule goes against EPA science.
We object to how EPA has come to this decision to revoke tolerances for chlorpyrifos. We make the case in the letter that EPA's own scientific record on chlorpyrifos shows that there are actually many safe and high benefit uses of this chemistry that do not pose a dietary or environmental risk. So in this letter, we're asking EPA to acknowledge that and to stay its decision to revoke these tolerances.
Crittenden says the EPA rule takes another tool out of the toolbox for farmers.
Chlorpyrifos is a really important product for very tailored uses. There are some crops like cherries and sugar beet where chlorpyrifos is really the only alternative to help with these different pest threats. It's also important in controlling aphids and soybeans. So what this means is we're losing, once again, another tool in the toolbox that was important to agriculture and to farmers.
Now the coalition will wait for a response from the EPA.
Obviously, there's a very strong showing having over 80 agricultural groups signing on to this one coalition objection. I think now we see how EPA responds to this, and hopefully by explaining our concerns with the process in which this revocation was issued, we can prevent further activity in a similar vein for other pesticide products.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director Allison Crittenden. USDA's latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report predicts U.S. farmers are currently harvesting a record-sized soybean crop. Mac Marshall, United Soybean Board and U.S. Soybean Export Council Vice President of Market Intelligence, says USDA made updates to the 2021 marketing year soybean crop size.
What we've wound up with is that 4.45 billion bushel crop, which is a record crop right now, surpassing the 2018 crop size. We had upward revisions on the prior year balance sheet as well. So all of this translated into additional carryout at the end of this marketing year. At the end of September, we had the grain stocks report. So seeing that uptick in carryout for the 21-22 marketing year is not surprising, but it's kind of a confluence of both revisions to last year and, of course, these production updates that we have for the crop being harvested right now.
Marshall says the report relieves the tightness of soybean supplies, which was the market focus for much of the last year.
Prices still remain strong, but certainly having this additional supply being captured in the ending stocks figure means that the overall tightness in the balance sheet that we've really observed for much of the past year is starting to abate a little bit. Of course, there's still strong domestic demand, still strong global demand, and we're glad to produce a great crop to go into that. But some of the pricing opportunities that might have been there in previous months get a little wind out of the sails in response to this report.
The latest report highlights the importance of checkoff-funded efforts to create demand for U.S. soybeans.
Absolutely. I encourage you to check out unitedsoybean.org to see all of the initiatives that we're undertaking in terms of market development, demand advancement, and research, and also our partner organizations, USEC.org and USSoy.org.
You can keep up to date with the latest news from the United Soybean Board at unitedsoybean.org and every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on RFD TV. If a foreign animal disease like African swine fever were to enter the U.S. domestic herd, animal health officials will respond by drawing an area around the infected premise and coordinate directly with the producer on further actions. Dr. Patrick Webb is acting chief veterinarian for the National Pork Board. As more awareness and preparation is put in place, Dr. Webb gives an example of a control area.
They can look to USDA's FAD PREP plan, which is their African swine fever response plan, for guidance on how big that type of zone should be. So the minimum of the infected zone is 3 kilometers, or about 1.8 miles from that infected farm.
There is another 1.2 miles marked as a buffer zone, making the control area radius approximately 6.2 miles. Dr. Webb says producers need to be transparent with state animal health officials about their operation if they are in the control area.
I'm a sow farm. I have to move pigs every 2 days, or I'm in a welfare situation where I'm going to have to start managing my flows a bit different, or even, God forbid, having to start euthanize pigs because there's nowhere to go with them. And it's a two-way street on communications.
You can Google ASF control zones for a PDF from USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service that outlines control areas clearly. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is pleased that the Cattle Contract Library Act was introduced in Congress last week. The bipartisan legislation is sponsored by South Dakota Republican Dusty Johnson and Texas Democrat Henry Cuellar. Now, Tanner Beamer, the Director of Government Affairs and Marketing Regulatory Policy with the National Cannabis Beef Association, talks about what the legislation would do if enacted.
What this legislation would do is it would direct the Secretary of Agriculture to establish and maintain a library of all of the contracts offered by packers to cattle feeders for the purchase of live cattle. And why that's important is because there's four transaction types that are categorized by USDA when they report information under livestock mandatory reporting.
The lack of information is especially prevalent in one of the four livestock marketing categories.
There's negotiated cash, negotiated grid, contracts, and formulas. Formula is a little bit unique because, unlike the other three, it's more so defined by what it isn't than by what it is. It's a catch-all bucket for all of the transactions that don't meet the definition of one of the other three. And because of that, there's a lot of questions about how specifically the formula bucket works and what types of contracts are being offered by packers to feeders. And by publishing this information and maintaining a record of all the contracts that are being offered, cattle producers can compare the marketing arrangements that they have negotiated with that maybe another cattle producer has negotiated. And that helps them to improve their leverage position going into negotiations with the packer potentially, because they have more information available to them at the time.
The goal is to help livestock producers stay afloat and help them bounce back from what he calls black swan events.
We're trying to make sure that they have more resources available to them. And we're trying to make sure that the market overall is operating in the most transparent way possible. That is our top priority here. And if we can arm producers with more information that could potentially allow them to capture more value for their cattle, that is a win in our book. It's been a top priority of NCBA for a long time, but specifically since the most recent Black Swan events at the Holcomb plant in Kansas, and then obviously the COVID-19 pandemic, our focus has been how do we provide more opportunities for producers to increase their opportunities for profitability.
One other item that would help cattle producers is fully reauthorizing livestock mandatory reporting.
The last time it was fully reauthorized, which is typically for a five-year period, was 2015. It was supposed to expire on September 30th of 2020, but Congress kept temporarily extending authorization via the appropriations package, which funds the government. And we've been able to see some temporary extensions of the program via that process up until today. The most recent continuing resolution that Congress passed on September 30th of this year does contain a provision which extends LMR's authority, but that will lapse again on December 3rd if we don't take independent action to give it another temporary extension or include it in another appropriations bill.
Again, that's Tanner Beamer with the NCBA. This has been American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.